You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. Right? You specifically, here today in Clovis, New Mexico, are witnesses of these things. See, very often when we hear the gospel proclaimed at Mass, we think, oh, how nice 2,000 years ago this record of history of Jesus saying that to them. It's glad that I can read that instead of saying, Lord, how do you want me to experience it right now? Because just as truly as on that Easter day he said that to his first apostles, so he says it to us today. Just as intimately as he knew them, he knows us. Their faults and their failures, their weaknesses, but also their strengths and the talents that he would use to spread the gospel. He sees all of that in every single one of us as well. And so today he commissions us as witnesses of these things. And what are these things that we are to witness to the world? Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead, right? That life-changing occurrence that when it finally dawns upon us that Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, offers me eternal life, whew, that should change absolutely everything. The fact that we have a new center to our lives because Jesus Christ has risen. That's what we witness to. But you know, it's tough. It's really tough sometimes to witness to Jesus because we feel like we don't know him all that well. It's tough to witness to something you haven't seen, to share the relationship you have with someone that you don't actually know. And that's why our Lord calls us not only to witness to it in a public way, but to experience it in our own personal lives. He calls us this third Sunday of Easter, if we haven't yet, to now have an experience of the risen Lord. We prayed for it so many times. In the psalm, we said, Lord, let your face shine on us. What does that mean? That means, Lord, create in me a heart that turns to you in prayer. Because prayer, if nothing else, is letting God's face shine on us. It's like what we get to experience in these exciting days of spring and early summer, where you just kind of go outside and you just feel the warmth and the light of the sun just hitting your face, and you go, okay, winter's over. That's what prayer is meant to be for us, more than just something that I do, that I check off my list of things that I have an obligation toward. No, it's meant to be, I go for divine radiation therapy. That when I enter into this church, it's Eucharistic radiation. That his face shines upon me. When, over the course of my day, I pause to be able to pray for just a little bit even. It's divine radiation. That the Lord's face shines on me at that moment. But you know, it's more powerful than the sunlight. Right? The sunlight, that's the analogy that I just used. But God is not some impersonal force. No. It's a personal love. And so you think back to those faces that just light up when they see yours. I think sometimes of my nieces and nephews in Albuquerque. And how when I come in, their face just lights up. Because they know that the walking jungle gym is back. And they get to have some time of piggyback rides and things like that. But then also whenever I would go visit my grandparents. And it had been maybe a year, 2 years since I had seen them. And my grandfather's face would just light up. Or when you see a friend that knows you well enough to kind of cut through all your stuff when you say you're doing all right, and looks at you with this understanding and this love and this acceptance of you, faults and all. That's what the Lord's face shining upon us in prayer is meant to be. All of that and more. Because it's the face of our most intimate friend looking at us, knowing us, understanding us, and delighting in us. That's what we're called to experience in a life of prayer. to be able to come to him regularly, day in and day out, rather than just making it something that I do maybe once or twice or three times a year. But to say, no, every single day, I'm going to go into his presence through prayer. I'm going to try and get to know him well through prayer. So then I can be a witness to these things to those that I encounter. Of course, the other thing that causes our nervousness is we think, well, what if people have questions that I can't answer about church teaching, about A, B, and C? Well, we have brains. We have so many resources. We have formed.org. If you haven't looked at that yet, call the office this week. Francisco can explain to you exactly how to log on and how to find some of those answers to your questions. If you have direct questions, you could always ask me. I mean, I'm kind of a bum, so sometimes it takes me like a week to respond, but hey, eventually I will. But we can learn our faith better. We can experience God more profoundly in our prayer, and then we become those witnesses that God has called us to be. We can become witnesses just as powerful as Peter himself was in that first beautiful sermon that he was preaching when he said, "The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses." Right? He was already putting into action that which God called him to do. And in doing so, he was avoiding the sad fate of being the other option. Right? One option is that we're witnesses. We're doing that which God is calling us to do, coming to know him in prayer and study and then witnessing to that with the way that we live our lives. What's option B? St. John tells us in his letter. He says, "The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, 'I know him,' but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them." And friends, we might feel more like witnesses one day and more like a liar the next. The truth is, all of us are somewhere in the tension between those two, where one day I'm witnessing so strongly that God has changed my life profoundly, and the next day, oh man, I'm scared, or I'm insecure, or I'm ashamed, and I'm a liar. I'm somebody who says by my baptism that I am a Christian, but by my actions, nobody would be able to tell. So wherever we are on that spectrum between liar or witness, today God calls us to move more to the witness side. He calls us to experience him here at this Mass just as truly as the apostles did on that Easter Sunday. He calls us to be changed by this encounter, to commit ourselves to a life of renewed prayer and study of the faith, so that then we can bring others into that relationship that we have with the Lord. It says that those who say, "I know him, but do not keep his commandments," are liars, and the truth is not in them. Well, I confess before Almighty God and all of you, yes, that's been me before. But you know what's going to happen in just a few moments? I'm going to receive him who is the way, the truth, and the life. No matter what a liar I've been up to this point, he can make me a witness. I receive truth on my tongue and it changes my heart. And that's what we will be able to encounter. Whether it's through the blessing, through just being in his presence, or through being able to receive him into our very selves, he can change us and make us truly witnesses of these things.